back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, June 25th, 2018. And to conclude the point on democracy, you know, why do we have to keep coming back to this? Because it's old news. It's really not news. I guess that's so John Adams on the subject of democracy, just to conclude again, those passions. So democracy arouses passions, and those passions are the same in all men under all forms of simple government, and when unchecked produce the same effects of fraud, violence, and cruelty. Could it be then that bad guys have identified this as a means of destabilization, as a pretext to reconstruction? I ask rhetorically. So that was then. So fast forwarding to now in history, it's interesting. Thursday, January 18th, Kurt Doolittle published this response on Quora, and he published it over at Propertarianism, the philosophy of Western civilization in scientific terms. But the – well, here's the conversation from Quora. Here's how it went. Guillaume Chantrain, freelance front-end developer, 2010 to present, asks, I just wanted to support the point made by Don Tracy, though I don't think the system he's referring to in his answer is actually a democracy. A democracy would require citizens to know their constitution, their own constitution, definitely. In an actual democracy, constitution would have been written by citizens, not the leadership. A constitution is supposed to set the counterpowers. You can't ask people who will be in power to set the counterpowers, as there's an obvious conflict of interest there. Even with the best intentions in the world, it will be tempted to think that they need some latitude. Excuse me. Sorry. To have their hands free, as little pressure as possible to be efficient, and even think that they might have to take decisions for the good of the people, but without those people's consent. So it should be people who decide what are the rules. The leaders, if they want leaders, will have to follow. And it was interesting, you know, aristocrats like Jefferson spoke more like the common folk in terms of their perspective. And then you have the Hamiltonians, you know, the bastard not of aristocratic birth who tried to pass himself off more as an aristocrat, which is interesting, kind of contradiction or paradox, a juxtapose. Therefore, citizens of an actual democracy would also need some basic legal training, just to have the basic tools to analyze the implications of law and its phrasing, because it's so very easy to introduce loopholes by badly writing a law. Ideally, citizens would have an education covering the history of the different philosophical schools in order to be able to identify the implications of their decisions and their laws and make sure that that's consistent with what they want, or if it's good for them as people. Because I forgot to mention it, but in an actual democracy, people would vote the laws instead of electing representatives, though they could have some, but with way less power. And in an ideal democracy, any citizen could write and propose laws. Well, we can do that today. In America, you could you could propose legislation and, you know, pass that to your legislator. Your constituency can propose legislation, but, you know, we live in a system that has been basically swallowed up by technocracy, where these think tanky institutions pass proposed legislation to representatives, and they're also in bed with the media, you know, again, to foment a reaction to something, to be able to create a surreptitious pretext to introduce that kind of thing sometimes. But so the question is, what the question that these guys are answering, sorry, Guillaume Chantrain is the first is one of the answers, excuse me, but I want to get to Kurt Doolittle's answer. So the question was, what is the prerequisite knowledge for democracy? And in this case, we're talking about democracy as a form of government, not a democratic voice, which is a great thing. Anyway, what is the prerequisite knowledge for democracy? I gave you Guillaume Chantrain's what I would call bamboozled response. But Kurt Doolittle's response, I think, is fantastic. So the question was, what is the prerequisite knowledge for democracy as a form of government? We should maybe add parenthetically. Kurt Doolittle's response, none. It doesn't matter. Democracy is both logically and empirically the road, the slow road to tyrannical communism, because people will always vote for perks. And under Keynesian economics, they have no feedback system to alert them to their self-destruction until it's too late, which is exactly what he writes the left counts on. I wouldn't say the left. I would say bad guys who orchestrate left and right and collide them together. So that's brilliant. That's pretty brilliant. Doesn't matter. Democracy is both logically and empirically the slow road to tyrannical communism, because people will always vote for perks. And under Keynesian economics, they have no feedback system to alert them to their destruction until it's too late. And that was a point that Keynes himself made. In The Economic Consequences of the Peace, he, you know, that's what he wrote. There's no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. That's, you know, pretty plainly stated. Let's go to the phones real quick and grab Bob in North Carolina. Bob, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah. Because was that Big 12 out there? It wasn't Big 10, unless they...
Hey, Bob, you're on the air.
The Southeast. Yeah, everybody's changing up. I think the smaller schools are moving up and the bigger schools are combining. It used to be Big 10, and now it's like 12, 13, 15 teams in there.
Bob.
Back in,
now
yeah.
We'll come back to Bob. Let's go to Mike in Virginia.
That's right.
Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome. Bob's working. Understandable. You there, Mike?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I kind of want to, I guess this ties into the dumbing down of America, but it's more about the cultural domination of American taste and, how, you know, especially the music. There's good music out there, but you have to look for it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You won't. I'm sorry.
I said, yeah, I agree. You said, you know what I mean? I said, yes, absolutely. You're right. There is good music, but you have to look for it. Absolutely.
You won't, for the most part, you like, there's this one group called the Avett Brothers, A-V-E-T-T,
right. Yep.
Out of North Carolina. Are you familiar with them?
Yep.
they have this eclectic blend of bluegrass, country, a little bit of blues, maybe a little bit of classical music. But
yeah,
I want to mention this one thing to you. My brother told me the story how a while back, this one guy managed to get Clive Davis, you know, the famous record producer, in this club to listen to this fantastic singer. Apparently, she's really good. And she hadn't been signed up for contract yet, but she just had talent like a war. So Clive Davis, you know, it was in this, you know, nightclub, you know, not a low class, but a nice place. And so she, you know, came out with her band. And Clive Davis took one look at her and promptly walked out of the club. Because apparently she was apparently overweight. And he didn't want to market someone that wasn't photogenic. And this speaks of the state of music nowadays and how, you know, the marketing and the perception is more important than the talent. And this is before your time, but I'm sure you remember heard of the Mamas and the Papas. Well, Cass Elliott had a fantastic voice, but she was, you know, had a few extra pounds.
Right.
And it's gotten so bad now. Well, for instance, Justin Bieber was at this concert, and he dropped his microphone, and he was scrambling for it on the stage. And, of course, his voice was still playing.
Right.
There's no repercussion. You know, it's no big deal. The kids go to the show, get the T-shirt, they go there for the experience, and it's like the music is secondary.
Yeah. I remember years ago going to, I don't know, that maybe, you know, I'm not sure I want to admit this. It was with my mom. That's all I got to say. I went to a concert with my mother. It was a Cher concert. And
You're forgiven.
Yeah. I was with my mom. So, you know, what do you do? But somewhere midway through the concert, I presume it was Cher, said she talked about she was backstage at one point. She kept going backstage for these costume changes, and she was saying, I think during one of them, that she had a number of lookalikes, doubles, that they used from time to time, and she had 6 or 7 of them at the show, she said. And I just remember thinking, does anyone else feel betrayed, completely betrayed? Like, you know, who are we looking at? And so anyway, yeah, to basically corroborate your point, that kind of thing has been happening, obviously, for a long, long time. And it's very, very unfortunate. I think, you know, if people want to listen to good music, then I suppose they could vote with their dollar in democratic fashion to kind of bridge the two subjects. But it's very unfortunate. There's all kinds of weird stuff.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. No, it's gotten to the point now to where, well, like a lot of these so-called artists, I may not be using, RT had a really good documentary on this a couple years ago. But apparently a lot of these, you know, artists use electronic modulation in the studio.
They
can sell soundboard. And some artists now come out on their CD cover and say, there is no electronic modulation, there is no distortion, this is the real voice. And I actually heard Britney Spears attempt to sing, and it was horrible. It was just like your next door neighbor. And, you know, that's why people like Britney Spears and Taylor Swift have to rely on sex appeal on being surrounded by a bunch of dancers on stage who detract
right.
from their third-rate music.
And, you know, again, I mean, then speaking of the, you know, the Tavistock Institute writing music and that whole, you know, behind the scenes connection, there's a reason, speaking of, you know, people like Britney Spears, that they are sort of groomed along the way by the kidnappers, you know, in Stockholm Syndrome fashion, coming up in the, you know, as a mouseketeer or something like that. That kind of stuff is no accident either. So, and, you know, it's interesting how someone like Britney Spears or someone like Miley Cyrus, you know, they go through these various stages that are very much similar. Again, you know, hard to argue, if you could possibly, that it's a coincidence.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, did I mention the fact that a lot of artists, you know, put on their CD? Yeah. And so it's like they're programmed. Do you remember that meltdown Britney Spears had a few years ago, where she shaved her head bald and put a lipstick on her forehead?
Yep.
Yeah. I think,
and obviously, that's what I mean when I say, you know, she's gone through it. Miley Cyrus has gone through it. Others have gone through it. Absolutely.
And I'm sure you're aware of the satanic messages in music nowadays. It's just, I mean, it's just really horrific. But I don't want to take up too much time on your show.
Yeah, I appreciate the call and, you know, good points. Definitely fits into the discussion.
Good work.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And thanks for your call. Yeah, you know, maybe we should play a little bit of that. I want to say it was like around the 12-minute mark or something. But, you know, the video's 20 minutes long. The Truth, Why Modern Music is Awful, is, I think it's a great little pebble in a pond, basically, that creates a ripple effect. And, you know, folks that are paying attention, that understand how technocracy works, basically, that the experts, the so-called experts that are going to tell us, you know, the maths will give us all the answers. The maths will tell us, the algorithms will tell us what, you know, you prefer. You think you know yourself, but, you know, the Michael Kaczynskis, the data scientists, remember the data that turned the world upside down? The article, I'll include a link to that. Before the Cambridge Analytica discussion really bubbled to the surface, there was that article by Hans Grossiger and Michael Krogerus that was published on Motherboard, Vice Motherboard, and then republished over at the Stanford Public Policy Program, The Data That Turned the World Upside Down. That was January 28, 2017. And from the opening, psychologist Michael Kaczynski developed a method to analyze people in minute detail based on their Facebook activity. Did a similar tool help Donald Trump to victory? Two reporters from Zurich-based Das Magazin, where an earlier version of the story appeared in December in German, went data gathering. Remember what Michael Kaczynski's work bore out? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Partner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Correlation. Hopefully I'm making this clear. It's pretty simple. There is an application for data, obviously, but when you think you have a magic hammer, suddenly everything becomes a nail. So from the article, the data that turned the world upside down, remember when all of this Cambridge Analytica stuff, you know, before it really became the issue that it became? And, you know, people do – this stuff has been going on for a long time. It's not just Facebook, but, you know, there are the questionnaires. The article even cites the Cambridge Psychometrics Center personality profile. You can go to discovermyprofile.com/personality.html. And, you know, people have been encouraged to fill out these kinds of questionnaires, or, you know, work wants to profile you in a variety of different – profiling systems, capacities, techniques, that kind of thing. And I think all of that sort of, you know, there is, again, there's a sort of legitimacy to it to some degree. But then I think what Jaron Lanier talked about about, you know, how we dumb ourselves down to technology to make it seem smarter. That sort of concept applies here as well. You know, people gravitate as herd thinking sort of animals. We should value free thought in this society like we used to. But there are so many little nuances to this discussion. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but there is also the it wasn't a TED Talk. Coding Tech had a video, 41 minutes long, designing a fantastic UX with psychology. And that's an interesting companion, I suppose, to this discussion, which again, you know, if I can sort of encapsulate this and make it make sense, Joe Leach spoke at the Smashing Con in San Francisco this year, last month. And again, that's something maybe we should play a little bit of. But he, you know, he's been involved in a number of high-profile UX and UI, user experience and user interface designs and redesigns over the last 10 or 15 years. And he pointed out that while most people, if you survey folks, they will say we want more choices, but you have the problem is, as he points out, that fundamentally that's at odds with the way that people behave. So while people say they want more choices, actually, their behavior would, you know, our behavior, generally speaking, would have us believe the opposite. And he refers to Hicks' Law. And so that's interesting. It's, and of course, he refers to the British, you know, because Leach is British, but William Edmund Hick and Ray Hyman, actually, it's the Hick-Hyman Law or Hicks' Law he's referring to. That is a math problem, basically. The more choices you have, the more time it will take you to respond. And, you know, so in Bernaysian fashion, basically, this is the same thing that Bernays was talking about in propaganda and, you know, has been discussed before and since then. But, you know, the technocrats boil this stuff down and use this, again, as the magic hammer, and everything or everyone in this case becomes a nail. And so we need to reduce our society down to a one-button society. And there's an application for this kind of thing, but it's not in everything. And so we end up being an engineered product. You know, these people want to reduce the complexity of the algorithm, take out all the variables. And one of the biggest, if not the biggest variable in the equation is you. So by, you know, coercion, manipulation, and propaganda, they basically stamp out the variables in you. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Quickly concluding this point and back to the phone. So I'll just go back to the article. So I mentioned the and I'll include a link to this. The Coding Tech video published May 20th, 2018, Designing a Fantastic UX with Psychology. It's actually an interesting watch for anybody who, you know, is interested in this kind of what I call the manipulation of people and society. Joe Leach is the speaker at the Smashing Con San Francisco 2018 tech conference. And so using psychology, how people really behave, and it's a pretty genuine look, you know, view into how people behave. Again, you know, in customary fashion, we don't get the how people are manipulated behind the scenes. And again, you know, I would point to Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget when he talks about, you know, the Turing test cuts both ways. If you know, he says the Turing test cuts both ways. You can't tell if a machine has gotten smarter or if you're just if you've just lowered your own standards of intelligence to such a degree that the machine seems smart. And I think these so-called psychology tests have the same sort of impact. And again, the article, the data that turned the world upside down, sort of corroborates this. What do you call it? The bidirectional impact, I guess. But you know, Jaron Lanier wrote, if you can have a conversation with a simulated person presented by an AI program, can you tell how far you've let your own sense of personhood degrade in order to make the illusion work for you? People degrade themselves in order to make machines seem smart all the time. And he wrote more, and I've talked about that in the past. But so that's from Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. But back to the Stanford article. Our smartphone, Kaczynski, Michael Kaczynski, concluded, is a vast psychological questionnaire that we're constantly filling out, both consciously and mostly, I would argue, unconsciously. But it was not just about likes. You know, they talk about the controversy over the likes. They're visible, then they're not visible. And again, you know, if we're talking about that, and it's innocuous data, we have to bring in the Paul Ohm's article back in 2009, Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization. There is no such thing. But continuing, but it was not just all about likes or even Facebook. Kaczynski and his team could now ascribe big five values based purely on how many profile pictures a person has on Facebook or how many contacts they have. A good indicator of extroversion, parenthetically, they add. But we also revealed something about ourselves even when we're not online. For example, the motion sensor on our phone reveals how quickly we move and how far we travel. Parenthetically, this correlates with emotional instability. Our smartphone, Kaczynski concluded, is a vast psychological questionnaire that we are constantly filling out, both consciously and unconsciously. Above all, however, and this is key, it also works in reverse. Not only can psychological profiles be created from your data, but your data can also be used the other way round to search for specific profiles, all anxious fathers, all angry introverts, for example, or maybe even all undecided Democrats. Essentially, what Kaczynski had invented was sort of a people search engine. He started to recognize the potential, but also the inherent danger of his work. And so then there's the extra step, the engineering of people. And, you know, I would refer to Zeynep Tufekci's TED Talk, We're Building a Dystopia, just to make people click on ads. And she talked about Facebook engineers trying to predict, you know, they programmed machine learning algorithms to predict the onset of mania in people, but and it worked in a way that the engineers couldn't, they said, understand. So is it possible then to engineer the onset of mania and to engineer these sorts of qualities in people? And again, how much do we dumb ourselves down to do this? But, you know, the technocrats want to do that. Everything is a nail, again, to those that think they have a magic hammer. Let's go back to the phones and grab Bob. We have Bob. Do we have Bob?
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Hear me?
Yep.
All right. I'm sorry. I had my Apple earphones on. I guess I've got you on speaker here. So
thanks for calling. Welcome.
No problem. You do switch around a lot, and you mix some things together. Like, for instance, the other day I was listening, and you were lamenting the fact of technology not working, and then you threw in the YouTube crazy girl that shot the place up or did something. I don't get that. It seems interesting that things are overanalyzed and thrown together in a fear-like fashion. For instance, when you speak of the IQ test, I can go right now and do any kind of search, and I can find information telling me that IQs are smarter. I can look up information telling me that the IQ tests are standardized and that IQ tests are changing every couple years and that many of them are specific towards what they're testing. So information is being mixed, and the outcome, what comes out, is basically what some people call that FEAR acronym, which is false evidence appearing real, maybe even putting a negative spin on it, making people feel, what would the word be, demoralized. So in listening to RBN, if a person was to take what they hear on RBN every day, they would become a demoralized person thinking that around every corner there's someone out to get them. And I just don't find that to be the true world. If you've traveled around this country, for instance, I'll listen to Michael Rivero, and he seems to be your mainstay on the show. The other day, he didn't know who Carol Quigley was, Tragedy and Hope. If someone tells him a joke, he acts like he could care less. He's one of the most authoritarian, moral, stern guys without religion I've ever heard on the radio. And he always has to say, again, again, again. And then he'll let you go, summarily dismissing you, without having a real conversation, only waxing verbose of the knowledge he knows, which generally is fear-based. You know, you guys have been talking about, for instance, the collapse all the time. I've heard.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You want to have a conversation, and you want to point to – it sounds like you want to be substantive and fact-based – and getting, you know, pointing back to your reference of the FEAR acronym, I don't think I would conflate the two broadcasts, if you know what I mean. You said, basically, you talk about Rivero, and then you say, you guys. Michael Rivero and I don't compare notes. So I don't think that's an accurate depiction. Just, you know.
So I ask this question of many restaurateurs. I ask them if they've ever eaten in their restaurants, or do they eat in other restaurants, and generally the answer is no, just like many of the talk show hosts on this station. I think Steve Elkins is probably the only one who listens to different shows and calls in. He wants to talk about finance. Now, when you talk about the one man in a million who understands what's going on, I'm that guy, and I think you're that guy.
I would like to think so.
Well, yeah, and so you did talk about private equity underwriters bringing down Toys R Us, and also Sears is the same situation. I've listened to guys even on GCN who talk about they failed to market. No, that's not it. They need to look a little deeper sometimes. And so here's what's happening that I think. I sound like Renee there. Here's the deal. Okay, so and you notice you get a lot of phone callers from North Carolina, which is interesting in itself. I think there's a lot of patriots here.
Maybe we need to take note of that. Maybe you guys are maybe that's why you feel like IQs are getting higher. And it is an interesting, just as an aside to your point, it is interesting. And, you know, again, that was Dave Pelz pointing out in his Next Draft newsletter, the CNN article, IQ scores are falling and have been for decades, new study finds. And
I was just going to say that was based on
the Norwegian study, but it's interesting. You know, I know of TED Talks. There was one by James Flynn about 4 years ago, for example, why our IQ levels are higher than our grandparents, which I find disingenuous. It doesn't ring true to me, but
depending on the information that you're putting in. It depends on what you're weighing out, you know, and so
their intelligence quotient was higher in horse sense. Ours is higher in technical data, perhaps. Anyway.
Okay. And so this is what we're using is we're using the mainstream media, and most all talk show hosts do that, yourself all as included. And they use – so they're trying to get the mainstream media confirm what they think and they believe themselves. So most things in life have a duality, just like the fasci. You know, that fasci could mean strength through numbers just as well as it could be some sort of a hold power together from within. So there's a lot of ways to look at things. And what happens is at the end of the day, if I listen to talk show hosts,
I'm given, and I love your show, and you put out a lot of information, and, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there, but it seems like everyone has a wheel stuck in the rut of fear, loathing, and, you know, for instance, I pointed out to so many of these guys, you guys have, many people have missed out on the greatest stock run that we've had in history, and so it's only because of this constant drop, drop, drip, drip hammer that you guys have of everything's going to collapse. Everything's bad. Everything's ending. Listen, I've got a couple kids in school, and I've never been more proud of our school and my children and the choir and their education level and what they're learning. And if you have a problem, any of you people have a problem with schools out there, it's your own fault. You need to look in the mirror. Instead of all of the people looking out the window pointing their finger, they need to step to the side and look in the mirror. And the biggest problem is with themselves, because they either, A, won't get involved, or they're willing to believe things that are not true. I'm not saying that it's not a terrible, rotten piece of crap world out there, and there's satanic all over the place, but there's just as much good. And we need to start talking about the good as actionable information. I find no actionable information from most of these shows, except to talk to someone about a political prisoner.
Well, you're on this broadcast, so maybe we should try to kind of confine it a little bit to this broadcast, and I would maybe ask what you think about – see, hold on a second. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, okay, you mentioned the goldfish. That you said that most people – and you repeated this, and I can't stand it when people do this, because I'm tired of everybody crapping and peeing on everyone else, because it's not true that most people have the attention span of a goldfish. You repeated that because of some study, because of how many seconds a person spends on a website when they're looking up information. It takes about 6 or 7.
No, that was based on Richard Groves.
No, that's where that study came from. And every one of you talk to a host, whether it's left, right, center, will repeat it and crap on America. And quite frankly, I don't believe that, because the person who just got on the website, that's what they base it on. There's no real study on that. It's wrong to continually say these kind of things to the
That's
American
oversimplified, but let me back up. Let's back up a little bit and address – you're on this broadcast, and I understand your lament, but I think you're sort of generalizing. And this – I'm going to just draw a fence around this broadcast, and we'll kind of confine it to this broadcast. I definitely understand your lament, but you haven't mentioned how I constantly refer back to what the founders referred to as virtue, morality, and religion, and how – we seem generally to be lacking that. Listen to you, Bob. Yeah. Be respectful. Let me respond to what you said.
I'm respectful.
I have seen personally, I don't know what you see, but I have seen personally and corporately, so to speak, a decline in family values and family cohesion. And we've all, I think, you know, anyone of any age, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old has experienced, I think, a transition from a family unit that we used to, you know, joke about. There was the, you know, the uncle who was the crazy uncle or whatever, or the aunt or whatever. But families got together and did things, and that has been eroding over time. We are being balkanized. And the caveat that I would, you know, the first thing I would say is, I don't think this is the kind of fear-mongering broadcast that you are categorizing generally. I try to point out that we are a product of a very manipulative system, and that is a fact that many people have written about and spoken about over the years. It gets back to your point about schools. What did the Reese Committee prove to us back in the 50s? That certain folks were working to engineer an educational system that works precisely in the fashion that Bertrand Russell wrote about in The Impact of Science on Society. So I try to shed light on that, not fearmonger, so that people can see that there are predatory forces that are trying to control them and society. And, you know, as far as schools are concerned, to continue to build on that, you know, you have folks like Charlotte Iserby who have told us that. John Taylor Gatto showed us in his real world examples that teachers are told these kids are not smart enough to learn things. These kids are special. And John Taylor Gatto proved in his teaching that that's all fallacious. And you have the 60 Minutes expose of the Gulen Network running charter schools. And if you listen to Charlotte Isserby, charter schools are a setup, and I believe they are, because it takes the purse strings out of the local community for a, you know, once and for all sort of coup on education. You have those issues. A couple other things. We'll address those and we'll come back and then see what you have to say about that. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to
campaigns. An old man sits collecting Christmas stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saved what others throw away. He says that he'll be rich someday. We
know
of an ancient radiation that haunts.
Couple of quick things and then response. I guess just two things. I mentioned school. There's more to say. Again, Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, Chapter 3, Scientific Technique in an Oligarchy, you know, about Fiddle laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that passage. And social media, just a couple of additional things real quick. Social media, you know, a number of high-profile folks have come out recently and said that social media is used to manipulate people. Sean Parker's Axios remarks are the most quintessential example. Chamath Palihapitiya, Regina Dugan, Roger McNamee, Sandy Perikilis, and many others have said, being, you know, speaking from first person accounts at high levels, that social media is a way to manipulate people, engineer society. So there's that. As far as the duality is concerned, I agree there is a duality. I think of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's words, you know, the if only it were so easy to separate a certain people like lepers and ship them off. Those are my words. But he said, but the line between good and evil cuts through the heart of every man, and who's willing to cut out a piece of his own heart? So to me, that speaks to the duality. The difference, though, is – and the logical fallacy comes in when we don't acknowledge the fact that you and I don't use a bundle of sticks with an axe head as a symbol for my life. I don't use a turtle for a symbol for my life, or the wolf in sheep's clothing like the Fabian socialists do. We don't do those things. There's a certain group of people who do those kinds of things, and it's not the rest of us generally. And so – just to summarize, get back to the point, I don't think this broadcast, I hope it is not thought of as a fear-mongering broadcast so much as shedding light on these kinds of things and inviting, you know, civil discourse. What do you think, Bob? We still have Bob?
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So the extended family, there's more stepchildren. People aren't getting married because they're using game theory because of government benefit. White women aren't having as many children, so those numbers are down, but they are having just as many children, trust me. You always refer to centuries ago or half a century ago and lament the fact that we've been through a bankruptcy already. Well, that's gone. And you can't ask for the things back that you had prior to bankruptcy when you have bankruptcy now. Social media, yes, that's not an unknown. It is there to manipulate people. And you say we don't do those things? We don't do those things either. I've never been on that social media, and I don't plan on being a participant of it. It's Frankfurt
right
School 2.0, and look at the people who are at the head of it.
Well said. Bob, I wish we had more time. I'm sorry we didn't catch you earlier. I understand, you know, duty calls. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.